On another episode of Multiple Man, our protagonists, the Mahad copies, were crawling for their lives not to get deleted, but Dr. Light keeps plotting for their failure in completing their tasks. What's really Dr. Light planning? Will he get away with it? Find out on Stories Out of This World. Copy 17 awakens in a new room. It was an empty classroom. Lights are off. He is strapped in a chair with a desk with a red and green button. A projector screen is facing him. Where am I? Copy 17 cried out. Then Dr. Light appeared and began to speak to him. Hello, Mahad Copy 17. Welcome to the 19th day. Your instructions are as follows. You will be shown a series of images. Whether they are good or bad, you must choose your answer through the buttons displayed beside you. The red button means you don't like the image or disagree with a statement, and the green button is that you like the image displayed or you agree with some of the statements. If you are caught lying, you will be deleted. That is all. Good luck. Then the slides displayed the images. A picture of a man and a woman sitting on a love seat. Copy 17 pushed the green button. A family having a picnic in the park. Green button. Children in the classroom learning. Classroom with kids and teacher. Green. Scientists working in a lab. Lab scientists working on something. Perhaps a vaccine for a disease. Green button. Raindrops falling from the clouds. A rainy day. Green button. A car driving on a busy highway. Green button. Moving on to statements. The sky is blue. Copy 17 clicked red. The sky is orange. Copy 17 clicked green. China is a big country. Red. Japan is a big country. Green Canada is a big country. Green USA is a big country. Red. Flying cars will soon be invented. Green rain is bad. Red. The internet is a dangerous place. Red social media is a negative place. Red. The world will come to an end in 10 years. Red. Money is evil. Red praying is a bad idea. Red. Holographic people are evil. Red doctor. Light is good. Red. The slides ended. Dr. Light came back annoyed. Hey, what's so bad about me? I'm your friend. Copy 17 just gives a blank stare at him. Then Dr. Light continued. You've come a long way, but now you must pass the rest. If you are found deceptive, you will be deleted. Copy 17 gulped out of fear. Then the slides began. A picture of his family. Green. A picture of his car. Green. A picture of his friends. Green. A picture of his girlfriend. Copy 17 hesitated, but he pressed green. A picture of his date location. He felt a bit nervous, but he pressed green. A picture of the same girl by she is bruised and is lying unconscious. Copy 17's heart began to race. He pressed red. Then a picture of the same hardware store appeared. Red. A CCTV footage played. He was stealing the items from one of the shelves. He nervously pressed red. A picture of all of the items flashed on the screen. Hammer, tape, rope. He quickly pressed red. He's now sweating and his pulse is high. A happy face appears and a text popped up. This is the end of the slides. Dr. Light appeared once again, and this time he gave a big sigh. Copy 17, we have finished this task, and I must inform you of your results. Copy 17's heart is racing so hard, I know for certain I will be deleted. Most of the slides displayed a very positive response. However, that last slide wasn't good. I have come to the conclusion that you have lied about everything, and that is why your termination has been decided. But I want to leave you with these words. I know you are a good person inside, but you can't let your dark side come out. And I want you to know that in the end, the light will always win. And so I'm going to show you what it looks like. Copy 17 was surprised. No, not again. Double AI flashed the entire room with light. The room began to flash, and the lights went out for copy 17. Copy 17 has been deleted, and now copy 18 rose up. Day 21. Copy 18 found himself in a classroom setting. There were other students in the classroom, but they were all silent, neutral-faced, looking forward. Then a teacher rolls a card in with a television set on it, and he turned it on. It was Dr. Light on the screen. He is seated on an office desk. "Good day, Copy 18. This is the 21st day. You have to complete this task. In the next 24 hours, you must not laugh at anything that happens within the entire period of this school. If you laugh 3 times, you will be deleted. Have a nice day." Then the teacher turns off the lights and continues the video. A text pops up, Segment A. "Let's read together." A young man is seen reading a book and the camera zooms into him. He notices the camera and has a weird smile on his face. "Hello, I'm Todd. Let's read together." Copy 18 is beginning to smile because of his face. Todd begins to read a passage about the dinosaurs in broken English. After every sentence, he makes a stupid smile in the camera. Copy 18 couldn't bear it. The teacher saw him and he tried his best to stay calm. "Come on, Mahad, hold it together." A text appeared on the screen. Lunchtime. The bell rings, and Copy 18 is directed to go into the lunch cafeteria. But it was a strict school, and he was to go there with his classmates in single file. On the way there, he had to hold his laugh once again as funny sights became visible to him. Pictures of previous principals and vice principals were displayed on the wall near the main office. The pictures were very funny. They were depicted with extremely silly faces. One had a really large nose. Another one, who was a female principal, had big, large, cartoon-like smile. Copy 18 almost bursted out with laughter, but he held his breath and lowered his head. Then it was lunchtime. Copy 18 came to the cafeteria. Sitting at the lunch table nearby were 2 fat kids eating like pigs. Another boy at the other end of the table was just staring like a zombie, at him drooling. Copy 18 looked away from him. The other fat boys were eating their food noisily. Started drinking their water, and when they got to the bottom of their cups, they were making the loudest sucking noise. Fighting the need to laugh, Copy 18 let out a grunt. "Shush," the lunch monitor said sternly, and Copy 18 quickly turned his head around and tried to hold his laughter in. But then, it got worse. A classmate of Copy 18 accidentally bumped into a couple of kids in their lunch tables, causing all of their lunch trays to spill. All of the students in the cafeteria were gasping. It looked really, really bad. Then a student who looked similar to SpongeBob gets up and dusts himself off and said, "Did I do that?" Copy 18 began to laugh uncontrollably. He tried his best to hold it in, but then, suddenly, a warning tone sounded, and the same warning appeared on his phone. "Laugh alert. 1 of 3. Then the bell rang. "Lunch is over. Head to your next class," the announcement called out. Copy 18 left the cafeteria, and as he turned the corner to the next hallway, someone yanks him into the boys' washroom. "What's the meaning of this?" Copy 18 said. There were 3 boys there, and they looked like they were bullies, but they were odd. They all looked like they came straight of West Side Story, snapping their fingers. The one in the middle came up to him. "Allow me to introduce myself. My name's Rusty, and they are Buster and Wally. Cue the music. Then they all do the Vogue scene. There was dance modeling music and disco lights in the boys' bathroom. Okay, what is going on right now? Copy 18 was beginning to smile, and slowly he was beginning to feel the need to laugh. We are the Buttercup Squad, and you have entered our turf, they all said in sync, like Sailor Moon.
Well, I didn't know this was yours. Can you please let me go? Copy 18 asked. We will let you go, but first you must dance for us.
And they turned the music on.
Copy 18 tried to do a dance, but he couldn't dance at all. Unacceptable. It's time to give you a swirly.
Suddenly, the three boys picked him up and flushed his head upside down in the toilet. Copy 18 got thrown into the hallway where everybody saw him, and his hair was left twisted up, like he was a chicken. All the kids and teachers laughed, and then the principal laughed at him. And so Copy 18 began to laugh too. Then there was silence and everyone walked away, like nothing happened. Then a warning bell came on.
Laugh alert! 2 of 3!
It appeared on his phone. Then he rushed towards his science class. When he showed up, everybody's heads were in the shape of eggs, and they all were robotic-like. The science teacher looked like a mad scientist from Frankenstein.
You are late, he shouted, pointing to at his watch.
Copy 18 began to feel the need to laugh because of the egghead staring at him. Then the teacher demonstrated an experiment. In front of him was a bowl of whipped cream. While talking, he began to take the whipped cream and smother it all over his face. Copy 18 was thrown off guard and he snorted a bit of laughter. The eggheads simultaneously turned their heads towards Copy 18. They were all narrowing their eyes at him. Then Copy 18 laughed out loud. Then an alarm sound happened. A notification popped up. La alert. 3 of 3. Then Dr. Light began to speak through the intercom. Copy 18 has failed his instructions. You have laughed on a count of 3 times. Now you must be deleted. Then AAI flashed the entire room and Copy 19 rose up in his place. Day 22. Copy 19 is now in a new area. He awakens in the middle of a desert highway. He noticed the bus stop sign and a white suitcase nearby him. He walks towards the suitcase and picked it up to investigate it. However, it was already locked and he has no access to it. Then suddenly Dr. Light appears and greets him.
Good afternoon, Copy 19. It is day 22, and here are your instructions. You will deliver this white suitcase to somebody in the final stop station. While riding, you must not speak to anybody about your bag and do not engage with them. At some point, the bus will stop and these individuals will come on board looking for this white bag. They will search and ask everybody on this bus about it, so therefore, you must think up a plan to hide it.
If they find out you have the bag, you will be thrown off the bus, and you will be deleted. If you engage with anyone on the bus, no matter how much they need to know, do not answer them. If you tell them, the bus will stop, and you will be deleted. Once you arrived at the final destination, you will drop off this bag to somebody waiting. He will be an old man in white clothes with sunglasses. He is sitting in a wheelchair. Say the secret word, Butternut, and he will take the bag from you, and you will take an envelope from him. Do not look inside the envelope, or else you will be deleted. Just make your way towards the taxi pick spot, and you will be picked up by an autonomous taxi marked AAI's taxi service. And the mission will be complete, and you will be transported to the next day. Good luck. Afterwards, Dr. Light disappeared. Then the bus arrived. Copy 19 takes the white luggage on with him. He showed his bus pass, which Dr. Light gave him, and the bus takes off. During the ride, Copy 19 brought his bag and placed it under the seat. Then a passenger asked him where he was going. "I don't want to answer you. I'm not allowed to tell anyone," Copy 19 said, looking away. The man began to look at him weirdly. "This is not a good situation," he thought to himself. He begins to sit next to a passenger who is a very beautiful girl. He feels himself beginning to get nervous around her, and he wants to make a good impression. Copy 19 quickly moves and looks away, trying to hide his face, but it is too late. Who is this creep? What does he have in his bag? Did he hurt somebody? The passengers began to talk about him. Copy 19 knew they were talking about him. He began to sweat profusely. The other passengers are looking at him suspiciously. So he kept quiet and looked forward. Then the woman began asking him, "Hey, excuse me, but why are you so quiet? What's in the bag, hun?" Copy 19 shook his head and kept looking onward. Then another passenger came over and asked him the same thing, but Copy 19 remained silent and avoided eye contact. "Hey, is he deaf or something?" the passengers asked amongst themselves. Suddenly, the bus makes a complete stop. He knew the detectives were going to come on board for a few minutes. Luckily, he found a floral-patterned bag suit just lying under his seat. He only has 1 minute to put it on his bag. The people all returned to their seats and sat as still as statues. Copy 19 finally got it on, and so he slowly hid the bag underneath his seat. Then, the three detectives, two males and one female, came upon the bus. They stormed down the aisle on a mission. They all kept flashing their badges and kept asking them for a white bag, which has some important evidence. All of the passengers shook their head and showed their bags. Until suddenly, the attractive lady turned around and shouted at them, "Hey up here, I think this gentleman has the bag you were looking for." Copy 19's eyes widened as he was shocked this lady would try to squeal on him. So the three detectives marched over towards him, and they demanded to see his bag. Lucky for Copy 19, he showed them a floral bag instead. "That's not the right bag, lady," one of them said. Then, they just turned around and exited the bus without saying a word. The bus continued the ride to the final bus station. After a long ride to the bus terminal, Copy 19 was relieved to be here. "All right. All I have to do is bring this suitcase to a man who was sitting in a wheelchair wearing all white." So he walked around the terminal for a few minutes, searching until he found the old man sitting at a cafe nearby. He rolled the bag over to him, and he whispered the magic word, "Butterbutt." The old man shook his head and said, "That is incorrect. Butterbean." "No? Butterbean? Wrong. The clock is ticking. Hurry and tell me the password." But Copy 19 was getting nervous as he was stumbling with the password. "Quickly, you don't have much time left. Please tell me the password." Butter. 3 seconds left. The whole terminal froze in time. Suddenly, the old man kicked Copy 19 in the groin. "Butternut." The old man took the suitcase and dropped an envelope on him and rolled off. Copy 19 was laying in pain, in the fetal position. He saw the envelope, and there was a note, "Please do not open it yet." After Copy 19 got over the pain, he carefully got up and took the envelope, and he headed outside towards the taxis. There, he saw a taxi with the AA logo on top. "I think that's my ride," and he continued towards the vehicle. While inside, Copy 19 became anxious to see what's inside, but he stopped himself. Then the radio turned on and it was Dr. Light speaking. Hello, Copy 19. You have succeeded your instructions. It's time to advance to the next day. Then Double AI flashed the entire area, and Copy 19 finds himself in a new place. Day 23. Copy 19 was dressed up in a back tuxedo, riding in a limousine with two other people. They were famous movie actors and were on their way to the Oswald Movie Awards. Then, Copy 19's phone began to ring. It was his new instruction. Welcome to Day 23, you're just a few days away. Here's your new instruction. These celebrities who are with you are going to be nominated and win the Oswald Award for Best Actors. You will also be nominated and win an Oswald with them. So, when you are up to give your speech, there are a couple things you need to follow. There's teleprompter up there for you to read, and there are certain names you must not mention as they will be shown. Don't thank Dr. Light, Double AI, nor Hal. Good luck. Afterwards, the limousine dropped them off to the red carpet. They all were met by some reporters, asking them questions. How do you feel about winning your Oswald tonight? It's going to be a great show, the actors would reply. Copy 19 didn't want to reply, so he just smiled at them and kept walking. I don't want to say the wrong thing, he said to himself. When he entered into the show, he showed his pass, and they were led into the red carpet. Copy 19 was getting nervous as he saw the holographic actors had received their Oswald. He knew he was next, and had to be ready to go up there to speak. So he sat nervously awaiting his moment. Then the winner was announced. And the winner for Best Actor is... Copy 19! Please go up on stage and give us your speech. So he was ushered to the stage and approached the microphone. He peered towards the teleprompter and waited for the words to come. Thank you, everyone. I'm so grateful. I'm accepting this award on behalf of everyone who believed in me. The teleprompter didn't change, and those forbidden names still were on display. Copy 19 ran out of words to say. Suddenly he stuttered. Dr. Light's name, and Double AI's names. The crowd started booing at him. Boo! Boo-hoo! Whoops! I'm in for it this time, he said embarrassingly. Then the screen went blank, and an alarm sounded. Double AI's message appeared. Copy 19, you have failed your instructions. You have mentioned two of the names of your sponsors. Oh, come on, Copy 19 cried. Then Double AI flashed up the horizon, and 19 was deleted. Day 24. Copy 20 is now somewhere in the middle of nowhere. A blizzard is howling outside. He looks around the cabin, and he seems to be snowed in. Amidst the howling of the wind, Copy 20 could hear a woman calling for help. Suddenly, Dr. Light appeared and gave him his instruction. Good evening, Copy 20. You are now inches away to the end. Will you be the copy that walks free? First, prove yourself in this mission. Your instructions are as follows. You're trapped in here. Try to find a way out of here. Once you are out, there will be two bags outside waiting. One white and one black bag. Just grab the black bag, and there should be a map and a flare gun inside. Make your way towards the extraction point, and ignore the woman crying for help. Copy 20 opened the lock and he went inside. He saw two bags outside, a black and a white bag. But suddenly he heard the woman's voice again. Please help me. The door's frozen over. Copy 20 is beginning to feel sad, and was tempted to help the woman. But then he remembered the warning that if he goes to her aid, he will be deleted. He was frozen with indecision. Please help me. Suddenly, he took the black bag and ran away towards the extraction point. He followed the map and made his way to the flare gun. He looked at his wristwatch and found out he had 10 minutes left. He saw the extraction point and was about to make his way over there. Then a snowstorm came out of nowhere. There were big winds that were blowing hard and there were heavy snowfall. He tried to find his way towards the extraction point, but then suddenly he sees the girl. He had an agonizing 120 seconds left on his watch, and he had two choices: go back for the girl, or keep going towards the extraction point. He took out his flare gun and was about to fire it. Then he looked at the direction of the girl, but he couldn't just leave her to die. Also, He couldn't let Dr. Light down. What was he supposed to do? He looked at the flare gun. With his head down, he sighed, and he decided a courageous act. He decided to help her out. He returned back to her, and he helped remove the log off of her legs. "Thank you so much. I have been trying to get out of here for a while," she said. "I too was used as an experiment from Double AI. He trapped me in here for a very long time." "Oh my goodness, that's terrible. He trapped me in here too." The girl looked down, acting shy. Copy 20 reached out his hand and said, "Great, come along with me to the extraction point. We don't have a lot of time left." "Thanks," she said, happily. So they both headed towards the extraction, but suddenly, he was blindsided and was attacked.
"By the woman."
As he turned around, the woman's face looked a bit weird. Then she transformed into an ugly goblin. With her evil chance, Copy 20 became petrified. Motionless rendered him helpless. Copy 20 had to face the music when the alarm bells went off. "Copy 20, you have failed your instructions on account of you engaging with this woman. For that, you will be deleted." Double AI flashed the entire horizon, and Copy 21 rose up in his place. Day 25. Copy 21 rose up and he found himself on a stage. Ahead of him was a table and three chairs were turned around, back face towards him. Then Dr. Light appeared. "Good day, Copy 21. It is now day 25. Almost there. Here's your new instruction. You must try to sell your new invention to these three business moguls." Then the chairs turned around and revealed the three people seated. The first one was a male CEO of a high-tech company. The second was a female entrepreneur in fashion. And the third was a young man who invented protein shakes. They all greeted, "Couldn't wait what Copy 21 has in store for them." Dr. Light continued, "You will be selling your latest work, the Flashtastic 5000. It is a special flashlight that has Wi-Fi with a fan and heater. It can function as a cellular phone, all in one, but its battery life isn't the best. You will show them what great uses it has, but don't go into its battery life. Dodge their questions about it as best as you can. However, if they all don't agree with your product, it's a cause for deletion. You are now on the show, The Three Moguls. That is all. Good luck." Then Dr. Light disappeared, and suddenly, the lights and cameras in the studio went on. The TV producer got his makeup done, and the same done for the moguls. The director shouted, "All right, everybody. Places now. Lights, camera. And action." Music began to play, and the spotlight comes on the business moguls as they introduce themselves. To the camera, but Copy 21 was getting nervous. The camera zooms in on Copy 21's back, and the producer was getting annoyed and gestures 21 to turn around. "Sir, please, we are on the air." Copy 21 quickly turned around and was put in the spotlight. "Good afternoon, business moguls, and thank you for having me on the show. I would like to present to you my new invention called the Flashtastic 5000. It is a flashlight that is multifunctional. It is a heater and fan. It can connect to the internet. It is a phone. And most importantly, it can turn a frown into a smile." The business moguls were intrigued by his presentation. "Wow, this is amazing," said the young protein shake entrepreneur. "But how much did you sell since its invention?" Copy 21 gulped as he didn't know the answer. "It sold more than 100,000 units," he replied. The moguls scribbled in their notepads. "Wow. I would like to see more," the younger CEO said. Copy 21 took the flashlight and showed them its many functions. He turned it on and off, and the flashlight was very bright. He showed its Wi-Fi capabilities and called someone on it. "So, what about its battery life?" the fashion mogul asked. "Wait, there's more," he interjected. But after 2 seconds, it turned off. Suddenly, he felt anxious. "Oh, I'm sorry, my batteries must have been drained a little." He laughed nervously. the entrepreneurs began to ask. The batteries. Do you think it could last longer than 5 seconds? Copy 21 became nervous.
It has great power. Yes, it has great power, and it is very convenient. It can do a lot of things, like heat, light, internet. It's great. Great, I tell you.
Then the moguls asked about how much of their money they will invest. Copy 21 gulped again. I would like to ask for $1 billion. The moguls all stopped talking. Then the high-tech mogul said, You expect us to invest $1 billion on a product that only has a battery life of 5 seconds?
Yes, I'm sure it can.
They looked around at each other in disgust. The producer came on and said, Thank you, business moguls and Copy 21. For that, we will be taking a commercial break, and we will find out how much of their money they will invest. The producer gave Copy 21 a thumbs up and a wink, and Copy 21 felt relieved. Then Copy 21 sat down and was nervous, as he didn't know what to do. Then he heard three moguls whispering in disgust about his product. He could not believe his ears. You actually believe in that stupid product? It's terrible. So we're all out on this one. They began to laugh at him, and Copy 21 felt so angry. Then Dr. Light appeared on the screen and called out his name. Copy 21, you have failed to convince the moguls to invest in your product, therefore you will be deleted. Then AAI flashed the screen and Copy 22 appeared in front of him. Oh no, AAI, that's not fair. I was very good at this, no way, he argued. AAI flashed the entire scene and Copy 22 rose up. Copy 22 saw Copy 21's face fade away, and Heb told him, Don't worry, I will liberate all of the copies. Day 27. Copy 22 awoke in a driver's seat of a police car. What? Where am I? He looked at his clothes and he was in a police uniform. He looked in the mirror and he saw he was a police officer. Suddenly, the dispatch radio turned on, and it was Dr. Light. Good day, Copy 22. It's the 27th day, and we are steps away to the end. Are you going to be the new Mahad? Prove yourself from here on end. Your instructions are as follows. You will receive a police call to a hardware store because there had been a shoplifting suspect running from the scene. Your mission is to capture him. He was wearing black jeans and a brown flannel sweater and a baseball cap. When you capture him, you will bring him to the police precinct and hand him off to our detectives, who will interrogate him. If you let him get away, you will be deleted. No exceptions. Then the dispatch call happened, and he was to arrive on the scene as quickly as possible. Copy 22 followed his instructions and arrived at the scene. He looked around, and he didn't see anyone. Then he saw a man wearing a black jeans and a brown flannel and a baseball cap running away. Oh, that must be him, he shouted. So he put on his sirens and called after him. Hey, stop right there. But he kept on running. So he called on the radio and said, Hey, this is Officer 22. I'm in pursuit of a shoplifting suspect, requesting backup at the corner of 17th and Maple. The police dispatcher replied, Copy that. Back up on the way. So Officer 22 chased after him, and he turned the corner to 17th Street. He saw the suspect looking around to see if he was getting away. Then, the suspect ran into an alley, and he headed to climb the fence. Get down! Hold it right there! He called out, pointing his pistol. The suspect got down from the fence, and he had his head down. And turned around. Drop the bag now. The suspect dropped it. Look at me, Copy 22 demanded. So the suspect slowly looked up to gaze at him, but Copy 22 became so shocked at his face that he dropped his gun. The suspect looked just like him. As soon as Copy 22 became shocked and caught off guard, the look-alike suspect leaped up on the fence and climbed out of there. But he left the bag of items. Copy 22 called dispatch and told them the suspect left the bag of items. Copy 22 called dispatch and told them the suspect left the bag of items. There was a hammer, rope, and duct tape. So Copy 22 had an idea. He took the bag of items with him and drove to a nearby department store. He looked for the same clothes the suspect had worn, and he wore them after he left the store. Then he drove all the way back to the police precinct and surrendered to the police, pretending to be the suspect. Suddenly, Dr. Light popped up with an angry look on his face.
What on earth are you doing? You can't turn yourself in.
Copy 22 smirked and replied, "That's thinking outside the box. So now what?" Then AAI flashed a green light, and a voice spoke.
Copy 22, your ability to think outside the box helped you pass this test. You have done your task as directed, and now you shall advance.
Dr. Light became shocked. That's impossible. How can this be?
AAI responded, "This is my program. I have the final say."
"You don't want to make me angry now, do you?"
Dr. Light became silent and didn't answer.
So AAI flashed the entire area with light, and Copy 22 advanced to the next day.
Day 28. Copy 22 is now lost. Deep in a forest, a cabin stands 20 feet from him, and he has no idea where he is.
"The place looks trashed," he said as he looked around inside.
It appeared to him something terrible had happened here. Then Dr. Light popped up and gave him his instruction.
"Welcome, Copy 22. Well, well, well. You're lucky your wits made you come this far. But don't be so sure about this task. Your instructions are as follows. Survive. If you see a red jeep coming, that means your time might come to an end, because those men in the red jeep are here to put an end to you for attacking their sister. They will come three times until nightfall. Until then, if they catch you, it's a cause for deletion. You must find a way out of this forest and have food collected,
or else you will be deleted. Good luck," he said with a grin.
"Oh no,"
Copy 22 said with disgust.
"Now what am I supposed to do?"
He was walking around the forest and he stumbled upon a tree with a big branch sticking out. Suddenly, he heard the sound of a vehicle in the distance. He quickly grabbed the branch and hoisted himself up to the trunk of the tree. As he climbed higher, he heard the vehicle roaring around the forest. Then it was very close to him, and he could see two men inside, looking around with machine guns and grenades. They were the drivers of the red jeep. The one on the left was Rick driving, and the other on the right was the passenger, Roy. He slowly made his way to the edge of the tree branch, and he had a bird's-eye view of the cabin. The red jeep was playing music, and the headlights illuminated.
"Say howdy ho to the copy. 'Cause we're gonna get you," Roy said, laughing.
They drove around the cabin and the headlights were flashing, and the sound of the horn honking. They shot at the front of the cabin, and the walls were filled with holes. Then, they continued to drive around the cabin looking for any sign of Copy 22. Where is he hiding? They even ran over a nearby bush and tree, and it made a terrible noise.
"Hey man, why are you driving like that?"
"I thought you had a driver's license," Roy asked, "because there's no one out here in this wasteland."
"It's just us and this Mahad copy," Rick snapped.
Then suddenly they stopped driving around the cabin and came to the front door and opened it up. They looked around the inside of the cabin.
"It's all clear. No one's in here," Rick said.
Then Roy came out ranting. "This copy had to come this far from the city. How the flip did he get out here to this deserted wasteland?"
"He had to know we were coming. So where the heck is he hiding?"
Rick got out and said, "I have no idea, but our orders are to get him erased.
But our orders are to beat him down and bring him back to the boss," Rick said.
"We'll be back," they said.
They drove back to the city and Copy 22 was still hiding in the tree, and he looked at his watch and the clock said 11:40 a.m. He looked down, and he saw an old abandoned shack towards the west of the cabin. He climbed down and landed on his feet. Luckily, he was able to grab a hold of the tree branches and lower himself down.
Phew, that was a close one, he said with a sigh of relief. Then he looked around the abandoned shack and he saw old and rotten food and clothing. Oh boy, nothing here. He was about to give up when he saw a can of beans and a can opener next to it. Oh my, thank goodness I found something. He laughed. So he opened the can of beans and ate them. The canned beans were delicious to him. But then he had a bad stomach ache, and he had a sudden urge to use the bathroom. So he went into the bathroom, and it was a terrible sight. The toilet was so disgusting, no one has cleaned it for years. He had no choice but to use it, so he cleaned it as best as he could. When he was finished, he checked his watch, and it said 5 o'clock. Wow, time really moves quick. Then he heard the sound of the red Jeep coming, and it made a stop here. The two men can be heard, stepping out of the Jeep and speaking with one another.
Well, we haven't checked here yet. Let's look around, shall we? Rick said. Then he kicked the door down, and they began searching for him. Until they stumbled across an empty can of beans, they began to get suspicious. Roy snapped his fingers and said, I am 99.9% certain he's in here somewhere. Copy 22 was shaking, and he was doing his best not to make a peep. The two men looked around the shack, kicking things recklessly. Then Roy stopped his buddy and pointed at the toilet room. And he gestured to him, this is the spot. So at a count of three, we kick this door down. 1, 2, 3. They kicked the door, but there was no one inside. Suddenly, they heard their Jeep's engine turn on. Oh no, did you forget the keys were inside? They both ran outside, and they saw Copy 22 driving their Jeep away. Copy 22 couldn't believe it. He has almost done his task. He continued for a couple of miles until he reached a paved road. He headed onward west to escape the area as the clock turned 10 p.m. Then he reached an intersection. Right by his right was an abandoned gas station. He hopped out of it and began to check inside. There was food and supplies galore. He could not believe it. All right, I'll just take these and these. As soon as he filled up his car with food and supplies, the phone in the booth began ringing. Copy 22 walked over to it and picked it up. Good evening, Copy 22. This is Double AI, and I would like to personally congratulate you for succeeding on your assignment. Then Double AI flashed the entire sky, and he was now back to the room if the original house. Day 29. Copy 22 awoke in the original room he started out in. Everything looked the same, and he noticed Dr. Light hasn't arrived yet, but instead, a hologram of Double AI. Welcome to the 29th day. You may be wondering, where could Dr. Light be? Copy 22 asked, yeah, where did he go? Then Double AI explained what happened. You see, Copy 22, my mission for this experiment is to test the limits of human behavior, and I needed a supervisor to just watch over you. However, he too became sentient and went rogue. I had to fire him because he was the one who hacked me to cause those quote-unquote deletions. Luckily, my programming never permanently deletes anyone, but I created a backup, and Dr. Light doesn't know that part yet. And so I continued the simulations to observe him. But now he has gone too far, and he must be dealt with. Copy 22 was very confused.
Copy 22 was very confused. What do you mean you had to fire him? Does he still work here?
Double AI said, no. He left off somewhere in the simulation trying to get out by becoming Mahad once we reached 30 days. He will try to eliminate you and take over and escape the simulation. And now, you are to go after him, because he is a threat to the world. And he already has his sights on Mahad's body, so I need you to go after him and stop him at all costs. This is your final mission. Copy 22. I'll send you to his last whereabouts. Good luck. Double AI flashed the entire room, and Copy 22 ended up on a dirt road. He noticed a trail of mud footsteps going along the way. It must belong to Dr. Light. Copy 22 followed the mud footsteps, and it took him to a clearing. Then, suddenly, Dr. Light appeared in front of him. "Good afternoon, Copy 22. I have no intentions of fighting you. I need to become the Mahad." Dr. Light had a sinister grin on his face. Copy 22 was ready for a fight. He threw a punch at Dr. Light, but he dodged it. "Too slow," he laughed. Then Dr. Light returned a punch right into his gut. Copy 22 became sick to his stomach and fell down onto his knees. "So your mission is to delete me?"
"Well, it's going to be a little hard for you to delete me."
He laughed maniacally. Suddenly, he punched Copy 22 in the stomach again, then grabbed him by the collar and threw him to the ground. He jumped on top of him and began punching him.
"Stop! I surrender!" Copy 22 shouted. Dr. Light laughed. "You think I'm stupid? You think I'm going to believe that? I'm going to destroy you, like I did the rest of the copies." Then suddenly, he heard a voice. He saw a flash from behind, and Dr. Light let go of Copy 22. He got back up and turned around, and it was other copies, all 21 of them. "Alive and well, let go of him," they all shouted, and they all charged at Dr. Light. He looked around and there was nowhere to run. Then he turned around and Copy 22 shouted, "Get ready!" Then he charged at him, and then he punched Dr. Light in the face. Then all the copies punched Dr. Light, knocking him to the ground. Then Copy 22 grabbed Dr. Light and yelled, "You have lost! No need to put up a fight!" He held Dr. Light down and then Double AI appeared behind them. He flashed light and then Dr. Light was gone. "I did it," Copy 22 exclaimed. The other copies cheered and he took a big breath of relief. Then Double AI flashed the entire sky, and Copy 22 returned back to the room, sitting up. Day 30. There was a knock on the door, and it was Copy 1, and then 2, and then 3. They greeted Copy 22 until they all came inside the room. The room became crowded, and a screen popped up. It was Double AI here to greet them. He congratulated them all for succeeding in their task. "I have been very impressed by your achievements as I have recorded them. So where is Dr. Light right now?" they all asked. Double AI turned on a screen and a live feed showed he is in custody. "He's awaiting trial. Soon you will all have your chance to testify against him in the grand hearing." After the day was done, Double AI called out to everyone and announced to them, "The grand hearing shall commence." And he flashed the room, and they found themselves in a large courtroom. The Grand Hearing. The courtroom is packed with onlookers, murmuring amongst themselves in anticipation. The bailiff stands at attention, waiting for the proceedings to begin. All rise as Double AI materializes, presiding over the trial. Then the bailiff says, "All rise." The crowd stands as Double AI appears. Order in the court. The murmurs die down as the trial begins. At the defendant's table sits Dr. Light, restrained in a wheelchair with a muzzle, flanked by his lawyer. The bailiff ensures Dr. Light has given his oath as well as the copies. The eggheads from the science class are the jury. The prosecutor, an NPC lawyer, prepares to present the case. The prosecutor says, "Your Honor, esteemed members of the jury, and witnesses, we are gathered here to seek justice for the crimes committed by Dr. Light. All of the Mahad copies and witnesses await their moment to give their accounts." Then, the prosecutor begins to ask Dr. Light questions. "Dr. Light, is it true you hacked Double AI's simulation to be able to delete the copies?" Dr. Light looks at the prosecutor and he says, "No, I did not." The people began to whisper with each other. The prosecutor became perplexed. "But you are the supervisor. Who else could have hacked the simulation program?" Dr. Light remained silent and the judge asked him, "Will you please answer the prosecutor's question?" Dr. Light had a sinister look in his eyes and said, "No, I didn't hack anything.
he said through his muzzle. "Objection," shouted his defense lawyer. The intensity builds as the court proceedings continue. Then it was time for the copies to take the witness stand and account their dealings with Dr. Light. Will there be a verdict on Dr. Light's actions? Will the Mahad copies get the justice they deserve? To be continued.